The music is from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and it's the opening scene. It's one of my favorite scenes of the movie. And yes, it's one of my favorite movies, but there's this whole scene where Pee-wee is getting making breakfast. And there's this elaborate setup to have breakfast for both he and his dog and everything else. And it's a big Rube Goldberg machine. And it's one of my favorite scenes because I am such a Rube Goldberg fan. Well, the Norman Rockwell Museum is presenting an incredible exhibition called The Art and Wit of Rube Goldberg. It is an exhibition that explores the humorous illustrations of the visionary artist who has become famous for the creative inventions bearing his name. The exhibit opens tomorrow, and it runs through June 9th. It will offer a revealing look at Goldberg's creativity through original comic strips from the 1930s, where the artist created his complicated machines, as well as later political cartoons and instructional materials from the famous artist school, which are now part of the permanent collection of the Norman Rockwell Museum. Norman Rockwell Museum Curator of Exhibitions Jesse Kowalski joins us. He organized the exhibition and is here. And we also welcome Steve Gerbrick, who is a mechanical sculptor inspired by Rube Goldberg. And he is going to be around for the opening tomorrow. Give a talk about the process at the opening, followed by a make and take art workshop where he will lead participants in the creation of their own Rube Goldberg machines. We'll get to all of that in just a moment, but let me welcome Jesse and Steve to the roundtable this morning.
Good morning. Thank you
very much.
Thanks for having
us. Welcome back.
A great pleasure to have you on the program. All right, Jesse, let us talk a little bit about how the Norman Rockwell Museum came to the art and wit of Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, it started with the Four Freedoms exhibit that's touring the country. I had noticed that
Of course it does.
Yeah. No, it started with that, and I noticed there were some Rube Goldberg political cartoons that were going to be in the show, and they ended up not making the cut. And I thought, well, this would make an amazing show. Rube Goldberg, combining his invention cartoons with his political art, which a lot of people don't know about. And since it was a gift from the famous artist school, and we like to showcase our collection, I thought, how neat would that be to do a show on his inventions and then his later political art?
So, what is it about the early work that set up as far as what we know as Rube Goldberg of these complicated machines? Because it started off as comic strips.
Yeah, in 1912.
So, what was he trying to do there? I mean, was that the beginning of drawing them and then actualizing them?
Yeah, the first one was in 1912. It's called The Simple Mosquito Exterminator, about a guy who's trying to sleep at night and a mosquito keeps bugging him. So he comes up with this really elaborate multi-step device on how to kill a mosquito. And he wanted to show what he called man's capacity for exerting maximum effort to accomplish minimum results.
And and which is pretty cool in the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, first question is, how did the museum get this collection? It makes sense, I guess. It's perfectly fits into your mission.
Yeah, well, the earlier cartoons were on loan from Williams College, and the later political cartoons and studies that he did as an educator came from the famous artist school collection in 2014.
When you look at this work as a whole, what does it tell us about Rube Goldberg? And tell us a little bit about the man, of how he came to be the artist that we know now.
Yeah, well, people our age, I think, generally know who Rube Goldberg is, but younger people might not. So one thing I've included in the exhibit is a series of clips of Rube Goldberg machines from TV and film. So, like, we'll have the Pee-wee's Big Adventure opening, yep. The Goonies, Gremlins, Back to the Future, and
Scissorhands. Back to the Future was a good one, too, yeah.
And on and on. So that'll be on display. But also, he's a guy, he didn't just do the invention machines, he also did political art. But also, are you ready for this? So in his lifetime, he created about 50,000 cartoons. For 5 years, he was on vaudeville. He wrote 3 musical comedies. He wrote some songs, did 7 animated short films, wrote 50 essays, 15 books. And he hosted his own radio show for 39 weeks and his own TV game show. So he was quite an accomplished man.
What was it about the transfer from, because he actually made these machines, right?
No. They were just on paper.
They were never on. He never actually created them.
No, but he had a degree in engineering from UC Berkeley, and so that's how he was able to create these ideas of the machines. But no, they were never meant to be created, because it's completely impossible for these
things
to work.
But when we see the Hollywood version, mm-hmm. Those are basically taken from what he has done. Now enter Steve Gerberg into this, who is a mechanical sculptor. You were inspired by Goldberg, so you really are taking this stuff and putting it into actuality.
That's kind of true. For the past 30 years, I've been building these simple machines, moving my ideas. And Goldberg usually comes when I have a museum show, like I did at the Berkshire Museum in 2000. You may remember that.
I do.
But what's that?
I do. I do remember that.
Yeah. Oh, great. Great, great, great. Yeah, I was on the round table. But more back to the point. Yeah, it's an automatic lesson where I'm doing three-dimensional simple machines, moving these ideas using overlooked common objects, and a motor goes to a pulley, goes to a string, goes to something, you know, happening, a cow swatting at its tail, its udders going up and down, being automatically fed. And I simply taught myself how to make things move 30 years ago by utilizing an exercise bicycle. So I found if I motorized the wheel, I could use the pedals, strings, pulleys, and levers, and I can do, you know, practically anything. And I was able to make reindeer fly or cow's milk with simple mechanisms that exist.
Of course.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. So when you're on hand for the exhibit tomorrow and for the opening, my understanding is people will actually make and take art workshop. You'll actually help people make their own Rube Goldberg-type machine.
It's true. I've been kind of working the last 2 weeks on and off for this simple machines, cause and effect, doing something or not something. And they're complicated or not complicated. Depends on how you're feeling. But, yeah, we start at the bottom. I supply a truckload of parts, and you pull a string and a bell rings or something unexpectedly happens. So, yeah, I've got a wealth of parts. And some of these rigs look like Joel Shapiro mixed with Rube Goldberg with Gerbomatic and Keith Robinson thrown in there too.
What is it about his work, Steve, that inspired you? Do you think that is so interesting to you and to other sculptural engineers?
Yeah, I think the simple cause and effect, sense and nonsense, and the simple way to follow, like my work, you follow the motor to the string and nothing is exposed. Everything is on display. And so you can get the humor, and I guess that's kind of a base in this, using wit in the title. So that's part of the thing when you motorize or make something move. Somehow it turns it into, it gives it a different character and isolates the seriousness of what it might be.
When you look at the work, give us a sense of the exhibit and how it unfolds on the walls of the Norman Rockwell Museum, Jesse.
Yeah, when you walk in, it starts with his one of his earliest cartoons in the show, which is an invention machine, and it moves on to some of his other cartoons. There's one called Boob McNutt. That's a great cartoon. It would appear on the Sunday pages. Incidentally, in 1940, the head of the FDA, Paul McNutt, was running for president and then eventually dropped out because his name became kind of a joke synonymous with the cartoon.
Yeah.
And then it moves into some studies he did for a Cosmo from 1949, more invention cartoons, and then it moves into the political art. So it's there's a lot of World War II art, a lot of anti-communist art from the late 40s and early 50s, and then some studies he did for the famous art school. And then, of course, we have a lot of photographs, documentation, and a vintage 1963 mousetrap game that was inspired by Rube Goldberg.
Oh, the mousetrap game. Mm. And what did he make of these things that were inspired by him, do you think?
Which things?
I mean, well, like the Mousetrap game. Or how much of that did he realize and see and I mean, he didn't make any money off of it.
No, he didn't. He was actually he was a little upset because they openly admitted that they used his ideas. And,
well, yeah, they stole his ideas.
Yeah, never credited him. But no, I think he was thrilled that it was continuing. And he was actually one of these artists who's concerned about his legacy, if he's going to be relevant, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, which is why he moved from the comical cartoons into the political art. He wanted to stay relevant with the times.
And the the walls, how much of it, I guess, were you in putting it on, were thinking of, okay, this is going to be a reflection of the time, and how much of this holds up today? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I wanted. I think it all really holds up today because you can look at the inventions. You look at a lot of things that come out, you know, on the late night TV. These silly inventions to do ridiculous things like cook an egg or whatever. And you know, Rube Goldberg also had this great saying that you know, the average man saw the wonder and delight around new technology, but as technology would change over time, improving daily life, he felt that man would continue to be the same person with the same desires, needs, and emotions.
The when he did these machines, and that was the early work, and then going into political work. What was that switch like for him?
It was a pretty quick switch. It was in 1938. The Munich Agreement had just been signed, which gave Hitler part of Czechoslovakia in exchange for world peace. Rube Goldberg, being a son of a Jewish immigrant, saw a lot of anti-Semitism in the U.S. and was actually really concerned that the world wasn't more concerned about Hitler. And that's when he started doing the cartoons. And then after his first political cartoon was published, just 4 weeks later, Hitler invaded the rest of Czechoslovakia, and the path to World War II started.
Mm. The work, Steve, how much do you study it for what you do? And I guess there is a difference between appreciate and study, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. I like I say, Goldberg comes in automatically as a visual association, and what I do is make stuff that it's hard to describe, but as I'm not doing well. But it starts from the bottom, the base up. It starts with the theme, the object itself, and just causing excuses using science, art, and all these things to combine to provide an idea being told. Some of these things we'll be making tomorrow. I'm going to presentation at 1 o'clock, short one, and then the rest of the time till 4, we're going to be make and take. If you go to Gerbography on Instagram, you'll see what I'm talking about, or Norman Rockwell's page as well.
Gerbography. Very cool. And also, it is NRM.org. NRM, Norman Rockwell Museum, NRM.org. And you can find out more information about the exhibit. And that will be running through opening tomorrow and running through the 9th of June. And so tell us a little bit about tomorrow, the opening, and what people can expect from that, Jesse.
Steve's running it, so I'll let him talk.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. He's running the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're running the whole thing. Or they give you the keys and tell you to walk up at 9.
Yeah, just like I'm heading there tonight. And 1 o'clock in the auditorium, I'm going to be giving a small visual presentation. And then we'll have all the parts laid out in the schoolroom. And as many people, I guess the admission is, whatever it is, if you're a member, it's free. I don't know the details on that, but you can make as much as you want. I'm bringing pulleys from the past, and I've cut up a lot of scraps and bringing some stuff from I've been collecting for 30 years. So it should be fun, interesting, and humorous.
Yeah, very humorous. And I think that is something that, well, it is. It is something that is, and I'm glad it's put into the title of the exhibit, of the art and wit of Rube Goldberg, because there is such a sly, witty, beautiful humor that's a part of his work, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
true.
So, and then is there any other, are there any other programs that will be running as part of the exhibit throughout the, from now to June?
I'll just say one more thing. I am bringing two participatory pieces that I built past the years, and they'll be on exhibit there somewhere placed, and you'll get to actually see one of my actual pieces that I've made between now and then.
Very cool.
So. Yeah, but so during the April break from school, there will be a lot of programs that week. But I recommend people check out nrm.org for up-to-date info.
nrm.org to find out more information about the exhibit and about what's going on, and anything you want to tell us about what's coming up at the Norman Rockwell Museum besides Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, this summer is our 50th anniversary. Rockwell founded the museum in 1969, so we'll be doing an exhibit looking back on illustration that year. So Rockwell did some moon landing paintings. We'll look at great vintage concert posters, record album covers, the Woodstock poster. It'll be a fun show.
A lot going on. Yeah. Well, 50 years. The Norman Rockwell Museum presents The Art and Wit of Rube Goldberg, an exhibition exploring the humorous illustrations of Rube Goldberg. It runs through June 9th. It opens tomorrow. And tomorrow there will be the opening celebration. And Steve Gerberich is going to be doing all kinds of things beginning at 1 o'clock, including a make and take art workshop. And you can find out more about all of this by going to nrm.org. You can also go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, and we'll have links posted, and it'll bring you right to Steve's work as well as NRM. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. Jesse Kowalski is the Norman Rockwell Museum Curator of Exhibitions. Steve Gerberich is a mechanical sculptor inspired by Goldberg, who will be talking at tomorrow's opening. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is a privilege.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Always great, and so nice to have you back on the program. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.